With Haftar Selassie will be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. Stay tuned for Back of the Book. It's 5 o'clock in New York City. Back of the Book.
Right here.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I'm pretty sure it's inching up into being around 5 a.m. and you're listening to All. When a certain someone finally goes to prison, the number he'll be assigned will be a lot longer than just 45. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things in this program. You can find out a little bit more about it by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You look around up there, and when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of the screen, and at the top of that, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that. You will get to the web page for this morning's radio program. I will note that we did finish the web page for last week's radio program, so if you want to see what we were doing and look at some graphics, you can certainly look at that. And yeah, I try to produce graphics for a lot of the stuff we do. Can't show it to you on the radio. Here, I'm showing it. Here, look. There you go. There, I was showing you the graphics that we do here. This is our 145th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and we are hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program is not as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in all the inhabited worlds for the past week was, we have fallen back to 124 followers on Twitter, and it's still a super gigantic number, of course, but people are saying, oh, does this mean the multiverse is going to implode? And I still can't get images to automatically come up on Twitter anymore. This stopped, a couple of months ago at some point, where now it says load image, and I have to click on that. And it used to be images just came up. Now it says load image, and I have to click on it if I want to see it. I don't know if this is something that my browser is doing, or if this is some other thing like that, or if Leon Scum is doing this himself. No telling for me, but if somebody knows how to make it so I don't have to click on every image in order to see what the hell it is, please let me know. You can write to me. I am rpm@glib.com, rpm@glib.com. And yes, I know some people figure email is an ancient thing, much like writing with a fountain pen, which is something else I do a lot. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, August 9th, 2023 at 7 p.m. That's this coming Wednesday. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. The CDC website still isn't giving us all that much information about COVID-19 in America, although they're saying that total deaths in America are at 1,136,473, which means that 554 people have died of COVID-19 since our last program a week ago. So essentially, it's the same number of people who have died of COVID-19 this past week than had died of it in the previous week. I don't know, maybe it's settling into a groove. Although, if you're one of those 500-plus people, that's not so comforting.
That is true, Arpal. And I do have some information from the New York State Department of Health. They issued a statement on August the 2nd, 2023. And I'm just going to read you a little bit from it. This is about just New York State. The New York State Department of Health is reporting an increase in COVID-19 hospital admissions, although numbers are still low compared to the height of the pandemic, which of course was just a horror show. The latest data from August 2nd shows hospital admissions increased 22% compared with the previous week. So we look like we're having a summer surge, which we have had all throughout the pandemic. That is more than 100 admissions per day. Reported cases of COVID-19 are 55% higher than the previous week. The New York State Department of Health says that's an average of 824 cases per day across the state, but that most COVID-19 cases aren't reported. So the hospital admissions number is the more reliable indicator. Wastewater samples are showing an increase in COVID-19 amounts, and that's the big thing to go by. That's how we know, yes.
That's more reliable. Yes. You can't lie about going to the bathroom.
And we know that there's increased spread when the weather gets very hot or when the weather gets cold, because people will go indoors for both of those reasons, and that is probably why the numbers have started to go up. Uh-huh. It's been so stinking hot for part of this summer for us. Not all summer, but hot enough that people like to go inside places and stay cool.
I wonder if that number lags a bit behind what the CDC has, or is the CDC lagging behind New York? Because last week we had 555 people die in a week. This week we have 554, so it's basically flat. So, but you're saying that for New York State, it's sort of coming up a little bit.
Well, there, that's just for
hospitalizations.
Yes, hospitalizations, yeah. And the wastewater is showing that there's more of a viral load in there. So
it's hard to tell exactly what's happening with this, except that the CDC says the deaths are holding pretty much steady at this point in time.
And the big thing that the Department of Health here is saying, Please, if you haven't, get your booster. Get vaccinated if you haven't been vaccinated. Wash your hands, all that same stuff. You know, if you feel like you go inside a place, there's lots of people. People tend to cough and sneeze without covering their mouths. Once again, now that they're not wearing masks, wear a mask. If it makes you feel more comfortable, do it.
The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on most of the time. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations and our bivalent booster shots. When the new boosters are put out in the autumn, I'm sure we'll get those as soon as we can as well. So, a funny thing happened while we were preparing this radio program. Well, a funny thing happened last week, too. We got a phone call, but I can't talk about that right in the middle of. Anyway, so we got this week, we were basically getting ready, doing stuff and preparing. And you listened to the radio. And what did they say on the radio?
Well, the announcer said, well, there seems to be something going on at Union Square, but we're not sure what it is.
So you came in and you turned on the TV, and there it was. Oh, boy. It was basically a riot. It wasn't a really focused riot at all. It was a lot of young people. It was a mob. A young people had become a mob. And as near as I can tell from what they're saying, some idiot who does stuff, the idiot is on Twitch, and he has millions of followers, and he went on Twitch and said, I'm going to give away PlayStation 5s, which is a big deal. It's the latest big deal gaming thing where you pay an outrageous amount of money to buy this game console, which is really a computer that's dedicated to these games. And then you can manage to buy very expensive and not that varied bunch of games that will play on this system. And yeah, it's not sounding too great to me. But anyway, some people think this is really a wonderful thing, a PlayStation 5. Most of those people are rather young. I personally am rather old. So, however, I have a computer and I play games on the computer when I can get a little bit of time to do so. And, oh, God, well, I haven't been able to play the games on the computer for some months now. But that's life. That's my tiny little life. But anyway, so we look at the TV and it shows Union Square, and there are huge numbers of people in Union Square, and the TV stations have they haven't been able to get reporters down to the ground yet, but they have their choppers over Union Square. So the choppers are there, and you've got this chopper view, and it's huge. All of Union Square is solid people, and they're just mobbing all over the place. We didn't get to it right away. We got to it, I think, at just after 4 o'clock this afternoon. And what I'm hearing is that by 3:30 this afternoon, half an hour before we turned on a TV set, things were going badly there with the mob not behaving. And so what happens was this guy, I'm not going to say his name. He's got enough followers.
Yeah, call him that schmuck.
That schmuck was saying he's giving away these expensive game consoles. And I guess probably his constituency, his followers, who are in the millions, are mostly of an age where that's a really great idea to spend a lot of time. And they have the time to spend on it. They also have the time in the middle of a day to go rushing over to Union Square and see if they can pick up one of these things for free. And, oh boy, so when we turned it on the TV set, they said there was a level 4 mobilization called by the NYPD. And when NYPD, NYPD, calls level 4, that's the biggest they've got. That means everybody come to Union Square. We've got a big emergency going on. And, oh boy, it was quite the sight. They were fighting with each other, throwing things at each other, throwing things at the police. There was the train station down on the corner of Union Square by, 14th Street and whatever's next.
I believe it's University Place at that point.
Probably.
Yeah.
Where the Staples used to be.
Yes.
And and so we saw that, and they're jumping up and down, and they're throwing stuff. And it's, yeah, it looked like quite the chaotic mob going on there. We're saying, what the hell is going on here? And then it came out that this guy said, oh, you know, I'm going to give away all these things. He said on his social media thing, this Twitch, that I'm going to do this. He said he'd be there. He'd give them out at 4 o'clock. And he made the announcement at 11 this morning. And so, of course, people were showing up in large numbers by 3. And by 3:30, they couldn't contain their excitement anymore and started rioting. And yeah, it's not the biggest riot in the world, but it was rioting when they're throwing stuff at each other and hitting each other and beating each other up. And then they throw stuff at the cops. And then there's a train station right down at that corner there at University Place and 14th Street. There's the subway station. The subway station's that entire area, but there's a big part to go into the subway station, a big entrance right there. And so what some of them did, it's under construction, by the way. They're renovating it. They're going to have to renovate it a hell of a lot more now. And so what we see right away is, from the chopper, it's very visible, there are people climbing up on top of the rather low roof of this thing. It's kind of like a petal shape, you know? It's a circle around a circle. And they're climbing up on that thing, and they're jumping up and down and just being there. And what it also turns out is we weren't able to see this right away because the damage had already been done and we didn't know about it. That thing was under renovation, and there were a lot of workers' tools left there. It was set off by what are called Jersey walls, which are those low plastic walls that you fill with either water or sand or whatever. And they form a kind of barrier. And facing the public was, oriented strand board, which is what's replaced plywood in many applications. And that's placed all around it. You see that in every kind of place where they're building something or renovating something. And they always paint the outside of it an ugly green because, it makes it green. Somehow, I don't think ugly green painted on oriented strand board fools me into thinking that, oh, it's foliage. So anyway, turns out what they did was some of the mob charged in there, tore down the oriented strand boards that were keeping people out, charged over the Jersey barriers, flattened them down, and then went in and they tore up whatever was in that enclave right there, and they broke into the tools. So they stole the tools that the workers were using to renovate all of this, which included things like axes and saws and hammers and all of that kind of stuff you use to renovate things. And they were taking that stuff and using it to cause mayhem. And so they were just making a big mess of a lot of that. It was also paint there, which, of course, they decided the best use of this paint is to throw the entire can up in the air and have it land on the ground and splash an entire can of paint, 5 gallons of paint, all over the floor. So they did that a few times. There was also video footage of one idiot in there who'd gotten a hold of a fire extinguisher, and he was shooting it off up in the air. It was a general, you know, sort of thing that happens. This is how riots have historically worked. People just act out. It's not planned. It's not logical. It's just impulse. Impulse given full rein. And so that's some of what they did there. And some of it got worse than that. There, while we're watching it, there's one of those hot dog stands, you know. You've probably seen them. They're on a lot of different corners and busy intersections. And guys have it's a little trailer. And the guy is in there, and he sells hot dogs and candy and soda and stuff like that. And we saw a whole bunch of them running on top of one of those. They're pretty easy to climb if you're young. especially if you're young and tall. And so they hop up on there, and they're walking around on his merchandise because he apparently stores a lot of his stuff on the roof of this thing because it has little walls that come up, and you can, you know, the edges of them, the edge of it is doesn't just drop off. It has like a little wall that's probably a foot or 18 inches high. And he has some of his inventory up there. So they're walking around on that. And then apparently one of them realizes, oh, I'm walking around on crates of water bottles. And so they start taking the water bottles and handing them out to everybody. The people weren't using them to refresh themselves. They were using them to throw at each other and at the police. And so they're stealing. They clean the guy's top of the thing out, and they jump up and down on everything, and his sabrette umbrellas, which he has on top of these things, because that's the hot dog kind that he puts out, that he sells. I didn't like those things. I got a really bad one once about 50 years ago, and I said, put me off hot dogs in general for a long time. But anyway, I digress. We talking about what they did, and they just clean the thing out, and they're just really throwing stuff and destroying everything they can. And we were watching, and later on in the broadcast, like an hour later, they interviewed a different guy who had one of those similar kinds of things. It's like a sort of a newsstand, except he sells everything, you know, candy and soda and whatever else he can cram in there to sell to you. And they had gotten to his place too, and they had ransacked it. They stole everything they could get their hands on, and they beat him up. You know, so this is a riot. And they were, you know, this awful behavior is going on here. And meanwhile, the cops are showing up, because the cops weren't there, and they're showing up, and they're trying to kind of deal with this. And they have a new way of dealing with these things, which is they don't, you know, say, okay, we got 10 guys here, form a flying wedge, get the stuff out, charge, which is the way they used to do it. They used to, you know, they would form a flying wedge. A flying wedge is a wedge shaped, a triangular formation, and you charge into the crowd. The tip of the wedge really just slams into people, and the rest of the wedge goes in there and hits everybody too. It's actually very effective. It was invented thousands of years ago when most wars consisted of guys with clubs and swords charging into each other pretty much this way and slicing each other up. The Romans had a version of that where they had multiple wedges in there, and oh boy, Queen Boeotia, I think her name was. It used to be Boudica. Used to be a different name she had, but it's Boudica now because they've figured out how to pronounce her name after a couple thousand years. And so she had this massive barbarian army in England, and they were resisting the Romans, and they defeated the Romans like crazy. And then they came up against some Romans who had a leader who knew what to do, so he backed his guys into an area where they couldn't be outflanked, and he formed this set of wedges. And when the barbarians came charging at them, yeah, they could start hitting the guys at the points of the wedges, but they're barbarians without any kind of discipline, so they charge down, and they end up in the crux where two of the triangles meet. And all of a sudden, they're surrounded, and they got cut to ribbons. And so they were, the barbarians just got crushed in there. This is the way you do these kinds of things. And the New York Police Department has used this many times in the past. I've been there for that.
And so have I.
I've warned people, we got to watch out for the wedge. And, you know, trying to explain a flying wedge to people who have no concept of geometry or outlawed football tactics or anything else can be really difficult when they're wandering around in a demo that the cops have decided they don't like. And so yes, that used to be the old way to do it. Now they're more tolerant. They hang back and say, please stop this. And they, you know, the cops get together because they don't want to be spread out too much, and they get ready to command because they know there are going to be a lot more cops coming in. And they try to keep a handle on it, and they get all their stuff, and they announce, okay, there's enough of us now, leave. And they slice up the crowd. Crowd control is a science. It's well known how to break up a crowd if you have a disciplined, strong force that has armament, and if necessary, can back it up with lethal force, which is the cops. Gone are the days of the tactical patrol force, I'm glad to say. And so they handled it differently this time. One aspect of this whole thing is that, of course, it's summertime, school is out, and it's being reported that although we mostly see teenagers and older people, guys in their 20s a lot who, you know, should know better but don't, there were a lot, it is reported, a lot of middle school kids in there. So you have these, you know, 10 to 13-year-olds or 10 to 14-year-olds who are running around and, you know, they don't have any brains to figure things out. They don't plan ahead. They're operating purely on impulse. And so they're running around doing stuff too, and they're throwing things without thinking, where's this going to land? And all of that is going on. And they also said there were some even younger kids. They talked about one 8-year-old girl. After the police had managed to move some of them, there was an 8-year-old girl left there crying because she was separated from whomever she'd been there with, and she was not equipped to deal with a riot going on around her. This is just some kid who's, you know, huh, what? And most 8-year-olds can't deal with a big thing like that. And so you had very young ones like her, and you got a lot, they said, of middle school kids, and high school kids are out, and then you've got, you know, guys who just hang around and cause trouble anyway. And that's a lot of what formed the mob that was there. And they were a mob. I mean, this was mob action, and this is how these things managed to go. And we were watching it, and then they said, oh, here's this. And you could see there was traffic. There had been traffic that was caught in the crowd. And the traffic on 14th Street couldn't move because all these people were in there, and they're climbing on top of some of the cars. That's lovely. One SUV in particular was trying to back out through the crowd. And we're like, geez, this is like an amazingly dangerous idea. Turns out, what they're saying, and I'm not sure of this, they were saying that that was the SUV of the irresponsible idiot who announced to his millions of followers on Twitch that he was going to give away things that are really attractive to middle school and high school kids and some slightly older people. And yeah, so that was his vehicle backing out. And I don't think he gave away a thing. Certainly he didn't give away like 300 PlayStations, which we are hearing is what he said he would do. They do have screen captures of his website, so he's not going to be able to deny he did this. And so they're backing out of the crowd, and I'm saying, this is amazingly dangerous. And then another car starts coming along, and it's looking like a little bit more of this, and these two cars are going to squeeze people between them, which is a great way to kill a bunch of people. Luckily, that didn't happen. But he's backing his car out, backing the SUV out, and some of these kids are jumping on top of it. They're on the roof. They're shaking hands with him, and he's being very friendly with them, and they're jumping all over the SUV, and then they actually amazingly are able to back out far enough to get clear of the mob so that they can leave, and then they drive away, and there are still some of these people hanging on to it, plus it's being trailed by a bunch of people on e-scooters, and so they're following it, and it goes along, and the chopper is following this thing going I don't know what avenue it's going up. And it's going away, and there are still people on it, and there especially are people on top of it, people on the sides of it holding on, and there were three people on the very back of it holding on, and while they're going along, one of them falls off. And they don't stop. They keep going, and they keep going, and then another one falls off. And they switch away, and they look back, and now there's nobody left in the back of it, and there are fewer people in the sides. So we know that some people probably got hurt falling off that thing. And, you know, that also is an idea that's an impulsive thing. Oh, I'll jump on the back of the car, the SUV, and maybe I'll get something or get to shake hands with this guy I see on Twitch a lot. Yeah, celebrity. Anyway, so they drove away, and they eventually got away from all that. And it was pretty bizarre stuff. It's being reported that the farmer's market, which was at the north of Union Square, it's just north of the park. If you're familiar with that area, you know where they are. Pickles and I have been there any number of times. Before the pandemic. And so we're looking at that, and those folks figured it out pretty fast. They packed everything up and ran away. So it shut down the farmer's market, which isn't helping the farmers to make any money. And some people aren't going to have their veggies for Saturday or maybe for the whole weekend because they were gone. And so there they went. And the cops held a press conference, and the big cop says, well, we don't know why the crowd behaved that way. Duh. They were a mob. That's why. On TV, one guy said it was because they were mostly teenaged boys, and teenaged boys don't use logic. He knows because his son is a teenage boy. I guess the father got a little bit of a zing in at a certain generation. And a lot of the kids, a lot of the people there, had their phones out taking videos of it all, just as happened with the older people at the January 6th insurrection. And I'm sure a lot of this is up online right now, and the cops are downloading it like crazy. And oh, man. They're probably going to get some arrests out of this. The idiot who sparked this entire mess and who has millions of followers on Twitch, he was questioned. I have a strong feeling he's going to face some charges on all of this. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And then you run into something else that can happen in this. They're interviewing people, and this one woman was taking shelter in a bank. She starts saying, oh, yeah, it was terrible. The cops were using tear gas. The police were shooting tear gas at people, and they were shooting people with BBs. They had BB guns, and they were shooting people. Later on, she sort of repeats this, but she says she heard people saying that they were shooting BBs at people and using tear gas and all of that. And, oh, man, this is the type of thing you run into because it is very difficult, especially if you're not experienced at it, to figure out what the hell is going on when there's a mob doing all sorts of things. People aren't usually used to it. If you're sort of used to it, as some of us have become in our lives, you start being able to figure out what's happening. And you don't rely on, you know, what some 14-year-old shouts to some 15-year-old and say, oh, that's what's happening. Because the police didn't use tear gas. The police weren't shooting anybody with BBs. This is just stuff the kids were saying. And I can see where somebody might think that the guy who was shooting off the fire extinguisher, maybe that was tear gas, but it wasn't. And it would really be different from that, but they don't have any experience with tear gas. I know tear gas. I even know tear gas that's military grade tear gas. Oh, that was fun. we'll get into that story. So they talk to her and she gives them this misinformation. And that's sort of what you get when you talk to people, because it's very hard to get somebody to really figure things out. And if you can really have bad luck, like this reporter did, and get a hold of somebody who's just clueless about how the mob is moving and all of that.
It wasn't just young people in that crowd. It was not. There were older people in there who absolutely knew or should have known that this is not the way you behave. Especially the ones that were stealing.
Well, some older people.
Yeah, there were some older
people. It was overwhelmingly
young. Yeah, when I say older people, I'm talking about people who are past the age of majority, you know, maybe. So maybe they're 19. Yeah. They ought to know better. But hey,
oh, sure.
You know. Oh, and there were, yes, I'm sure there were people in there who really just went because they thought perhaps they would get something for their child or something. And they ended up getting crushed, you know, because you could see clearly there were people who they could not move. You're going to, you know, that's a scary thing to be stuck in a crowd and you don't know what they're doing. And then all of a sudden all this mayhem breaks loose. It just makes me so stinking angry because it's over nothing. A thing. Union Square. Wow. Heart of the labor movement demonstrations. So many demonstrations over the decades. Wow, to have this stupid, stupid, violent thing happen just pisses me off royally. Because there was no cause for it. This is like when people line up for Thanksgiving for the sales, for Black Friday,
yes.
And they have their own version of a riot, and people even die from being trampled. You know, because you got to get in there and get that item that's, so cheap. Oh, and here we're getting free stuff. Oh, it's wonderful. God, people can be so stinking stupid sometimes.
Indeed. Yes. One thing I noticed that maybe this relates to, I don't know if it related to the guy who called all of this, or if it's maybe something out of a music video, but they would all be together and they'd jump up and down as a group. And they would do that constantly. And sometimes they'd be alone and jump up and down in front of the cop. The jumping up and down, it was orchestrated and they all knew to do it. And so I think it's some social thing that these younger people, I say younger people as an old fart, these younger people all know about, and they jumped up and down, and that was noticeable to me.
Well, it's kind of like back in another day when there'd be moshing, or even further back when there's mosh pits, and you go in there and you roll around and bounce off each other. And ladies' mosh was much gentler than, you know, doing it with guys, because they were out to get you sometimes, just like bounce you as hard as they could and like knock you to the ground. But so this may be a form of that. It could have been just like dancing, but then there was no room to really dance a whole bunch. Oh, it still makes me angry, though.
Ugh.
I mean, because, yeah, they stink and trash that whole park for no reason. Over a stupid Game Boy? Wow.
No, it's a PlayStation.
PlayStation, Game Boy, whatever. They're all the same to me. Get off my lawn. You know? It's just, I mean, there's enough violence in the world without doing stupid crap like this.
And how stupid does this guy on social media have to be to not realize that, hey, I'm going to give this away. Show up at this big, gigantic open space and I'll give you this thing that you would like to have for free. These things cost hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
And I'll give you this. How stupid does he have to be to not realize what's going to happen?
Well, again, going back to Thanksgiving, Black Friday, it took people dying, more than one person dying on more than one occasion, to have these sales set up in a different way where people were in a controlled setting and not just able to stampede when the store doors open. So,
of course, there were news people were out there with their cameras, and a lot of idiots are flashing hand signs. Some of them were probably gang signs. Oh, my gang. And they would surround the any time the news people got outside the police barrier, they got mobbed and surrounded and, you know, they're doing all this. Oh, I'm on TV. Not realizing that, you know, the police are going to get all of this and they're going to look at you and say, gee, this looks like the guy who did something over here and we didn't get a good look at him. Now we got a good look at him. Let's look him up. And they have a lot of surveillance in the area, and they are using facial recognition. So it's not as if people are, you know, doing something in the olden days.
I mean, when you're at a demonstration, and for whatever cause it is over the years, you know you have to look out around you because there's going to be somebody there who's not so peaceful and wants to do stuff and leave you holding the bag, as it were.
Oh, yeah, I've been in that.
Yeah, I think many of our listeners probably have been too. Also, when you are at a peaceful rally or demonstration and the police decide they're going to get rid of people, I think what they used to do, they used to lock their shields or, you know, be in lockstep with the shields and then start hitting it with the baton. You know, now is the time you move out of the area where all the people are because you do not want to be stuck in there when something happens. You know, it's the same thing, I'm sure, when the police remove their badges.
Oh.
That's the other thing. You know, now is the time you don't want. But the people who were there, obviously, they didn't understand any of that, it looked like. Or if the ones that did probably left before, you know, when they saw the cops getting, you know, lining up and more and more and more of them. Perhaps many of them were so busy, like having fist fights and throwing stuff, that they didn't even realize what was happening.
One reporter said she had asked one of the mob who was destroying something, why are you doing this? Well, you know, there's all this stuff, and why are you doing this? And the young person said, because it's fun.
Wow.
Well, that's fun for, you know, also part of it is you're in school a lot, and then you're not in school, and instead of being, you know, watched over and there are rules, now there are no rules. You could do it. It's the red hour. It's the red hour from Star Trek.
Yes, it is
the red
hour.
We can go do this. Ah!
Yes.
And that's what happens. Oh, it's human nature.
I bet there's a lot of kids that are catching it right now.
That is possible.
Because they go home and, like, whichever adults in their life, mommy, daddy, 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 mommy, mommy, grandma, you know, they are catching it if I had ever acted like that, I can't even imagine what would have happened. I mean,
when I was young, yes.
Yes. When you're a kid, like,
yes.
If you were 12 or 13 or 14, I mean.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of these kids are getting lectures at least. Were you there? Oh, no, I wasn't there. That looks like you. Oh, or else the kid immediately runs home and posts it up to whatever the hell social media the kid posts it up to, and then mommy and daddy see it and you did this? Uh-oh. Because they're kids, they don't think these things through, and oh, what a mess. So there's this huge riot, and reminded me a little bit, not much, of something that happened in 1979. That's 44 years ago this summer. In 1979, we had the campaign against the movie Cruisin'. And, oh, man, it lasted from sometime late spring on into the beginnings of autumn. And all through the summer, we were fighting It was a movie. It was anti-gay. It came out of an anti-gay book. And they were shooting it in Greenwich Village and stuff. And people, we had a lot of different people saying a lot of different reasons why we should do this. Homophobia was one of them. And the one I came up with for really going after them was, this is our turf. We fought to make Christopher Street something that was gay and not in the closet. And now they're coming to take this for themselves. And that was what motivated people. When we charged in there and we disrupted the hell out of it. The tactical patrol force was there then, and yeah, they took off their badges. And if you're linking arms to form, we linked arms to form a barrier between the ordinary people and gay activists who are, you know, ready to really fight and maybe get hurt. And, you know, they would come after us with the nightsticks when we couldn't even block. So stuff like that. And yeah, it was all. That was bad stuff, too, but that had a point to it, and we were trying to do something. It was part of the gay liberation movement, such as it was at the time. Oh, my, you know what? I think we've eaten up a lot of the program about this. Well, sometimes things happen just as you're preparing your radio program, and then it blows all your preparations away, and we are not going to talk much about... We're not going to talk much about Donnie Bonespur Trump. You know, there are over 1,000 people have been indicted for the January 6th insurrection. I don't know, maybe Bonespur was number 1,001. And so we've got this idiot Trump showing up for his third indictment. And, oh boy, it's a 45-page indictment. 4 felony counts, conspiracy to defraud the U.S. government, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, conspiracy to deprive people of their rights. And on top of all of this, one of his lawyers turns out to be not that bright because he goes on one of the TV shows, maybe Fox, and basically admits that Trump was trying to stop it. For the very good reason, he claims, that it would then force it back to the states so that the states could look this over and decide if they wanted to. Well, no. First of all, that's done. The states have already sent it all in. Second of all, there is no provision in the Constitution for, as you're about to just do the pro forma thing of accepting the results of these ballots, that you then send it back to the state. It really doesn't work quite that way. There can be a sort of way, but it requires a big vote in the Congress, the whole bleeping Congress, and not just the guy who lost gets a bunch of other idiots to run in and start a riot in the Capitol. So that lawyer has made what's referred to as admissions against interest. I wonder if he's still going to be employed this week.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Get out of the way. Here comes my bicycle. Here we go on the bicycle. Yeah, we're going to a riot. We're going to a riot. I'm going to get myself a PlayStation for free because that's logical. Nobody else will show up for it. Okay, this is WBAI New York, and we and the program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm hoping that we can squeeze a station break in here somewhere. In any event, this is listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. We don't have commercials, regular commercials on here. And how we support ourselves, because the electricity, I hate to tell you, is not free. A radio station, even a place like BAI, uses a lot of electricity. And we also have to pay tower rent. The tower is 4 times square, where they have an antenna that we use and where our transmitter is located. And we have to pay rent on that. We have to pay utilities because there's electricity being used there too. And we don't just get it off the mains. Four Times Square sends it to us, intercepts it and sends it to us, and adds a little extra vigorish on there for themselves. Yeah, put the vig on the electricity. And so it costs money. Then we've got telephone lines, highfalutin telephone lines, that have to run from 388 Atlantic Avenue to Four Times Square. You can't just use an ordinary telephone line or it will sound like crap. And so we got all these expenses. Plus, we have people who work here. And they work hard, and there aren't many of them, but they're doing a lot of jobs. And so we have to pay them. We can't tell them, well, you have to work for free. And, you know, at which point they're going to have to face a thing of, well, do I want to become homeless because I can't pay the rent and be starving on the streets? But I won't be able to do the job then. So people have to be paid. And there are a lot of expenses to running a radio station. And BAI is consistently running a bit short. What we do is we are listener sponsored, which means we ask you to call in and say, yeah, I want to donate. I want to keep WBAI going on the air. And so you do that by calling 1-212-209-2950. And when they pick up at the call center, nobody from BAI is going to pick up. We have to use a professional call center. They pick up and you tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And then you give them your credit card or debit card number and you tell them how much you would like to donate. You can donate $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, and the BAI Buddy program is a sustaining membership. You donate on a monthly basis, and you tell them how much you want to donate, and they will also write that down, and you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card to be billed. 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call. And so you do that, and you just tell them you want to do. Oh, you can also make a one-time donation if you want. If you want to, you can call up and say, I want to make a one-time donation. Same number, 1-212-209-2950. You call that number, say, I want to make a one-time donation, and you do it. So, yeah, that's part of how this works. It would really be helpful if you would do that. Please call them up and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Or say, I want to make a one-time donation in the name of Back of the Book. And just call 1-212-209-2950 and say, that is exactly the stuff you want to do. Okay, we hope you will do that, and we thank you if you do. Okay, that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. We are preempted next week. We're preempted for a fundraising special. We do a lot of that these days. So it'll be a fundraising special next week. However, we'll be back here in 2 weeks. That means our next Back of the Book radio program should be on here on August 19th. You can always check on glib.com for when we're on. I will note that on September 9th, we are planning, if we get that far, to do our 37th anniversary radio program then. Coming up next is
Exploration with Dr. Michio Kaku.
And so take care of yourselves. It's summertime. It's midsummer. We're going to have some decent times here. We're about to hit the exact day and minute of midsummer. Enjoy it. Get out into it if you can. Enjoy the weather, the warm weather. And above all, remember what that not rioting for something like a PlayStation, Dormouse said. This city doesn't make you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. You used to think that it was so easy. You used to say
Celeste Katz Marston from Driving Forces here on WBAI. We live in complicated times. Sometimes it seems like everyone's talking at once. Sometimes important voices get drowned out, and sometimes it's just hard to know what to believe. But here's one thing we know for sure. For more than 60 years, WBAI has been New York's go-to radio station for independent, non-commercial, free speech programming. Help us fulfill this important mission. Join the WBAI family as a BAI buddy in the name of your favorite show today and support radio you can trust. It's easy. Just go to give2, that's the number 2, WBAI.org. When you become a BAI buddy, you pledge your continuing support for great programs like politics, news, the arts, music, and culture. You help us stay on the air with the kind of real community radio we all depend on right now. Just go to give2wbai.org today. Don't wait. You know these times are too important. It's simple to make a recurring monthly donation, and it only takes a minute. Just go to give2, that's the number 2, wbai.org. WBAI has spoken up for New Yorkers for more than 60 years. Now, it's time to speak up for WBAI. Give to radio you can trust. Give to WBAI. Be heard.
Stand up, stand up. You've been sitting way too long.
This is Ralph Nader. You can now listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. It'll be one of the least forgettable radio programs in your experience because we touch on subjects not covered by the mainstream media, the public media, and often the independent media. You can listen to this program on listener-sponsored WBAI at 99.5 FM, where it's broadcast and streamed at WBAI.org.
It ain't gonna happen until folks like you and me just stand up. Well, you've been sitting way too long. Oh, step up. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. Rise up. Don't let the system hold you down.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Welcome to K-Wave USA, the show that has finally moved to Saturdays at 8 p.m., you know, K-Wave USA, the show that plays nothing but K-pop. Yeah, that's Korean pop music. Like Blackpink, BTS, even Psy's Gangnam Style from back in the day. But it is so much more because it's a music industry from South Korea that actually has its roots based on the American Motown sounds. Plus, also, it's what all the kids are listening to. And it's also family friendly. It's super poppy, super happy. It's basically ear Prozac. Some of the songwriters and composers are American. Shout out to all the Asian American idols. Looking at you, Jesse, who hails from NYC. So come and support the Asian American community. K-Wave USA, we've been on the air for the last 5 years. And now we're finally at 8 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah. We at war. We at war with terrorism, racism, but most of all, we at war with ourselves.
Yo, what's up, y'all? This is Kanye West. And whenever I need positive, progressive radio, which is so few and far between, I listen to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.